It's now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, Barbara, celebrating 36 years today. 36. Woo!
Okay. Hi, I'm Barbara. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 03-27-83. Yesterday, at this time, I was probably passed out from the third go-around. So, do I need to put it somewhere else? You mean my... I'll just back up if it gets too close. Let me apologize before I start. If I hurt anybody's feelings, pray for me. Call your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. Hopefully my mouth won't get nasty tonight, so I don't know. I won't be perfect, believe me. There's too many people in this room who knows me, so I can't lie. I came from an alcoholic family. I didn't know till I got here that that's what we were, a dysfunctional family. I thought we were normal. I did geographicals before I got here through high school. And I went on... The biggest geographic change I went is from Minnesota out here to California with my girlfriend, two girlfriends, in a 57 Chevy with the shocks tied up with wire. The only way we could get into the trunk was through the back seat. And we came out here with $50 in a credit card, and I was pregnant. So, and I stayed, and they went back home. So here I am. I met my first husband out here, and he was from Missouri. Oh, you know, this country's too small to try to run away from any damn place. And I stayed married 14 years on that marriage, and a very volatile marriage. If you wanted to drink with him, you had to drink as fast or as hard. And I tried keeping up. So I had ended up with two drunk drivings, I think. Assault was a deadly weapon before we ended that. And my last marriage, I'm a widower. I can't believe that. We were married, 34 years, February 2nd. And he passed away. Thank you. He passed away last year, February 26th. And then that was a blessing. Believe me, it was a blessing. For quite a few people. But I think my life began when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a repeater. I tried it for 25 days, and I went out on a rip-roaring drunk for a year and a half. I wasn't quite as bad as you guys. I never ended up underneath a bush, always on top of them, but not underneath them. I didn't have to eat out of garbage cans, dumb things like that. And that's what I looked for when I got here. I looked for all the differences. And if you were raised the way I was raised, you deserve to do what I did. And what a journey. The second time around, when I got back in here, I was sitting out on my steps of this house I was renting and looking up at the mountains and trying to figure out what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life. And my sponsors, I don't know if it was her relationship at the time or not, but one of her relationships anyway, came walking by, a mutual friend, and he asked me what I was doing, and I said, I don't know. And he goes, you want to go to a meeting? And I said, yeah, it sounded pretty good. And we walked 2.5 blocks. And that doesn't sound like much, but there's like 3 or 4 bars between that 2.5 blocks. And I knew if I left my steps, I was going to get drunk. And, so that was God's Eskimo to me. And we went to a meeting. Of course, we went in, 2 minutes before it started, and the minute it was over with, we were gone. And, and there was these two, Beryl and Faye, and they were 3 days younger than dirt. And then God rest their souls, and Addie, but she was an addict. And her mother was Sybil, the oldest long-term sobriety woman in AA, okay? And this other lady, my sponsor. And I thought, oh my God, what the hell did I get myself into, you know? And so, you know how you go to meetings and God always throws out the topic you need to be working on or whatever? And it seemed like every meeting I went to talked about getting a sponsor. And I said, okay. So I asked Mary to be my sponsor, and she said, no. I went, what the hell? You know, all you guys say you need to get a sponsor, and this bitch is telling me no. You know, so, but I kept coming. I don't know. You know, God pushed me in there again. And 2 weeks later, out of this mouth, asked her again. And I'm going, what the hell am I doing? And she said yes. And now I don't know what the hell to do. She said yes. You know. So I started this journey. And the first time I called her, I was at work and I'd gotten into it with the cook. And him and I used to drink together a lot. So I walked off my job. And I called her up and I'm, you know, and she goes, I'll be right there. And she had this big gold Cordova car. I don't even know what year it was. And she comes flying in the parking lot, you know, and doing dust flying all over. And I'm going, it's not that bad. You know, and we went to 3 meetings that day. You know, she just kept taking me to meetings. And in our small town, we didn't have a lot of meetings. So we had to go to Salinas, or we had to go to Monterey, or we had to go somewhere else. I got sober in Hollister, and you know, my journey began. And I think back about, I was trying to think about all these good things I wanted to say and how great I wanted to look up here, you know. And you know, God will humble my ass, so I won't even try. So, you know, we would do that. We would collect cans to put gas in the car to go to a meeting. I mean, that's what we did. And none of us had any money, but we always ended up in a meeting somewhere, you know. And I was told to do 90 meetings in 90 days, and I argued about that. How in the hell am I going to do that? I don't have a car, you know. And I know I did more than 90 meetings in 90 days with the group I hung out with. But we didn't have safe places to go and dance or anything. We went to bars, but we went together. But the biggest thing was, is they said, if you ever have another run in you, don't go with Mary and Barb, you know, because we believed in having fun. I didn't get sober to sit here and cry every day. You know, if I wanted that, I could stay out there, you know. And she put me in service, which, yeah, she didn't ask me to be in service. She told me I'd be in service, you know, and she picked the jobs that I would do. And the guy that walked me to the first meeting was one of her exes, and it was rodeo time, and she was having trouble, you know, remembering what they used to do at rodeo time and that. And so her sponsor said, start a meeting. Well, she didn't know how to make coffee, so guess who got to make the coffee, you know. And we started a step study meeting, you know, and that, I have to make more amends in the program than I did out there, you know. Me and my personality gets in the way. Not your principles, but my principles and my personality gets in the way. And I'm strong opinionated. If you don't know that, you know, you'll find out. I love a good heated discussion. I love getting the blood flow, you know. And when I'm wrong, God'll get me. So, you know, and he usually does. Most of you probably know Mike, and we got married in the fellowship. And my sponsor said, oh, you can't live with him, so you're going to marry him. Sounded pretty good to me. Yeah. I didn't know the journey I was going to be on with him. I probably wouldn't have. Okay. So listen to your sponsor. When they tell you don't do something, don't do it. You know, there's reasons, you know. Don't be as hard-headed as me, you know. No, I don't regret my time with him, but it got a little rough at the end there. So, Getting old isn't for sissies. And I want to know where the hell is these golden years at, you know? And I want to give Arthur away. I don't want this boyfriend I have now. You know, this Arthur, and if you don't know who Arthur is, it's arthritis. And, you know, and when somebody asks me, do you want a morning appointment as long as it's, you know, 10 on? That's my mornings, because this body don't move that fast anymore, you know. And I was flashbacking on that today, and we used to go to dances, stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd get up and go to work at 6, you know, and nothing. It was great. You know, I think I lived on 4 hours of sleep, 4 to 6 hours of sleep the first year I was here, you know. So if you think you can't make it without sleep, pick up the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It'll put you to sleep, you know. That's the most boring book they ever wrote when you first get here, you know. Now I keep wondering who in the hell keeps changing the damn stories on me, but and I have the same book, so yeah, you know, it's a little weird. You know, if you're bored in this program, then you're not working the steps, believe me, because I don't know what kind of past you guys had, but my friends didn't eat ice cream. And they didn't go to church socials. They, you know, they had 38 snub noses in their pockets, and they knew what the police were going to do before the police did it. And, you know, and when you're young and dumb and full of cum, you know, you just go for it. You know. And I'm standing up here, I know, gray hair, and I'm thinking, oh my God. And I, on the way over here, I remember this one meeting I went to that, you know, I was having trouble with Mike. He wasn't doing what I wanted him to do or something. And this gray-haired old lady talks to me after the meeting. I don't know who the hell she was. I don't even know who she was to this day. She walks up to me and she says, honey, when you get tired of that bucket of shit, you'll get out and take a shower. And I went, you bitch, who in the hell are you? You know, and these are the kind of people that God put in my life to get my attention, because he knew I wasn't going to listen to anybody else. And it's not bragging. It's just how I survived out in the street. You didn't survive in the street and the people that I was with if you were a little sissy. You just didn't do it. You know, and I wasn't the baddest one. So, you know, this life in Alcoholics Anonymous is crazy. It's absolutely insane. I have every time I move, the fellowship moves me. I'm getting ready to move again because I'm downsizing. And my dog is 16 years old, and she's getting blind and hard of hearing. So she doesn't bark and let me know that she needs to be let out in the morning. So I got this little pad down there for her while she pees all around it. She don't pee on it. You can't get mad at, you know, I mean, she's old, you know. So, I mean, this is the excitement in my life today, you know. But when I got called to ask to do this meeting, it was like a month ago. Oh, sure, no problem. And the closer it got to it, I'm going, what the hell excuse can I come up with? and I know where this place is, and I got lost. I'm driving around here between Bridge and Murray and wherever, Burke, for about 10 minutes, and I went, this is stupid. Asked my phone where I was at, and it said it wouldn't answer me because I was in the car. So... Me and those newfangled phones are crazy. But I'm back with my original sponsor that refused me the first time. I've had a few sponsors in between. I had Betty when I was here in Visalia and that. And Betty used to always tell me, she, why do you demand God? What do you mean? I don't demand him, you know. And then she'd point out how I'm demanding God, and I'd have to change, you know. Hate that. Just hate that, you know, when they're right. And when you're working the steps, the best thing I've gotten out of working the steps of this last year is I made peace with my past. And because I used to drive down the road and a song would come on, and I'd be right back to that situation, crying or whatever was going on, and I couldn't handle it. The guilt or whatever, you know, it hit me. And so it was last year, or the year before that, that I got to make peace with my past. I don't know what the hell I did different, but I guess it was just time. I guess God finally said, oh, maybe you've learned enough and you can make peace with your past. And that's a good feeling. It really is a good feeling that when something comes up now, or somebody comes up to me and goes, are you Barb? I go, yeah. I don't have to worry about where I know you from. I have to worry about, you know, how we met or what we did, or, you know, or anything like that. Because of the first year I was in the program, anytime somebody came up to me and said they knew me, my first thought was, what bar? You know, and so that's changed. That's changed. You know, when you guys were reading the introductions and all that, and they come across with the part about this as being a, I think he said open meeting, isn't it? Open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then the next sentence it says something about talking about something other than, and I'm going, you know, my hair's on my back of my neck. I'm a rebel. I don't need a good cause. You know, I can just, you know, start. And I go, Barbara, you're not going to start no shit tonight. You know, I'm driving to the meeting the other night, and all of a sudden, I don't know, there's some negative stuff hit me about, well, you know, you don't have your money for your bills. Now, it's not the first yet, and all my bills are paid this month, but it hits. Well, you know, you're not going to have enough money in it for next month. And I'm turning the corner, and I had to say, what the hell is wrong with you, Barb? You're on your way to a meeting. You haven't thought on this shit all day long. Why now? You know, and then I have to bring myself back in and go, where are you going? I'm going to a meeting. You know, like a little kid. You know, drive, look at the car next to you. You know, Jesus. I'm going, God, I don't know if that'll ever change. Or if, don't be as hard-headed as I am. Maybe that's the lesson in this, is don't be as hard-headed. If you're ever looking for a liquefied, freeze-dried, or ever eyed something to take you out of who you are, go to a convention. Hold hands and say the Our Father after that convention. Come back and tell me if there's anything out there that can give you that feeling. You know, the first time that happened to me, it overwhelmed me. It just overwhelmed me. And, you know, and I'm grateful that, you know, I got to hear Clancy in my first year, and I really liked him. He stood up at the podium in Monterey, and he was talking about, he met a woman the night before, and she had wine on her breath, and I hope she's here tonight without wine, and half the room shut down. You could hear him, you know, and I went, I like that guy. I like that guy. I like it when people are honest with me. You don't have to love me. I'm not asking you to love me, you know. I'm just asking you to be honest with me. I have trouble with that phoniness. You know, I keep coming back. It'll work. No, it won't. So I get in trouble sometimes when people are sitting in a meeting, and about the fifth or sixth time, you know, they're drunk. You can smell them, you know, and the way they're acting. And I have a tendency to voice my opinion and get told by the old timers, well, that's none of your business. I says, what do you mean it's none of my business? You know, well, it was talk shop, chalk tongue to confront the alcoholic, you know. And this person, I mean, I don't know if she'll ever make it. God bless her. She was in the meeting last night, and how you can tell when she's loaded is because she just runs her mouth, and she's running all over the men, you know, all over the place. And I looked at her and I said, shut up, Barbara, leave her alone. I couldn't do it. So I don't know if that's God helping me to change something I need to change, which I know I do. And every year I always look back to see what I need to change. Last time I stood up in this podium, I think it was a 47-minute meeting, and I talked all the way through it because I was telling you all my past. So if I sound like I'm staying in a program, I am. I'm trying to stay positive. It's not the drugs and alcohol that scares me anymore. I know exactly what Black Jack Daniels will do for me. might cause you a lot of trouble when I'm drinking it, but I know it'll do for me. But I don't want that spiritual death that I had when I walked in these rooms. If you're afraid of God, you know, find something that was... How did I read it the other day? Find something that is in charge of your life that as much power as you gave your alcohol. You know, God, good orderly direction. I was born and raised Catholic, so I fought that for 4 years, I think, the first 4 years. When I got into this area and Hanford, I couldn't stand their meetings. They were hour and a half long. People would come in and share, get up, and they'd leave for 20 minutes. And then they'd come back, and they'd share again, and then they'd leave. You know, and I go, why have an hour and a half meeting? You know? You got something to say? Sit down and say it. I was always told the meeting starts, you sit there unless, you know, something, till you get old and take water pills, and then you have to make a few trips. But, you know, but I mean, you know, there's no reason. My sponsor said there's no reason for you to leave the meeting. Even if a newcomer walks out the door crying, she said, don't chase him. Go talk to him afterwards, but don't leave the meeting because you're going to miss what you need to hear. And there's only been a couple of times that I've walked out of a meeting, and every time I've done it, I go, I know my sponsor's going to kill me for this one, you know, because I did miss what was said. You know, the best advice I can give, you know, is get a sponsor and get somebody that is not going to pacify you, that is not going to say, you're right, that's okay, keep coming back. Get somebody that's going to... It's going to make you work the steps and look at yourself, you know, and get involved. Mike and I do H. Well, whatever Mike got involved with, I ended up being involved with H. And I were in the archives of Corcoran, and Rayanne went out there with us. You know, just crazy that I wouldn't have done that on my own. You know, I wouldn't have done that on my own. But he always had to be involved in something. I'm sorry, I'm driving you nuts. But, you know, and I look back at that, and I know that kept me sober. I know it did. Because when I got in the area, like I said, you know, I didn't like these meetings. So I tried going back to church. And, you know, when it's 98 degrees out, you're not wearing velvet pants or whatever, you know. I'm wearing probably my capris. They were, you know, and the priest says, and there's only like four of us, so I know the hell he's talking to me, you know. He goes, you know, some people come to Mass like they're going, looking like they're going to the beach, and I went, that's it, I'm gone, I'm out of here, you know, because the man was old. And I know if I stuck around long enough, I'd end up telling them something, and that's disrespect. I have more respect than that, and I really didn't want God to end my life right then and there. So I went back to meetings, you know, and I sat in meetings, and I go, Barbara, what does your sponsor say? You know, you walk in a room, you take everybody's inventory, you get back around to you, put your name on top. Say, oh, short way to do a four-step, telling you. You know, and then she goes, listen for the message, not the messenger. And I'm going, oh, okay. I don't know what your higher power, my higher power I choose to call God, and he has a hell of a sense of humor. He waits for the last person on the last sentence to tell me my message. So I have to pay attention all the way through, you know. And you would think after 36 years I'd learn that, but I don't, you know. I fight them all the time. I stare, okay, God, come on, let me hear it, you know, and do all these things. But it's a privilege to be in service. It's a privilege for me to stand up here with you guys, scared as shit. I want to be this Miss Perfect. I even thought, well, maybe I should go have my hair done and get a new outfit. And, oh, no, I don't have time. You know, maybe I should get a facelift. all these things is because I'm not going to be good enough, you know. And the truth is, I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. That's my selfish part of it. If I can help you, you know, that's just extra. That's just extra. That's God's blessing to me. It is by God's grace and God's grace only I'm standing here today. I have done everything in my power to prove that this program wouldn't work. You know, I bartended clean and sober for a year and a half. My sponsor had a fit. I said, "You gonna pay my rent?" She goes, "No." I says, "And then I made a deal with God." Now, when you make a deal with God, get ready to lose. Okay, I said, "If anything better comes along, God, I'll quit this job and go to it." 3 cents more an hour came along. I quit the job and went to it because I had made that deal with God. And I knew if I didn't, you know, I was going to be all downhill after. And the job was out in the country. And like I said, I didn't have a car. And I made it to work on time every day. The friend that took me out there, and he was a drunk. God bless him. I don't even know if he's still alive. But he had this car, and we'd have to take a broomstick and put in the tank to find out how much gas we had every time because the gas gauge didn't work. I don't know what kind of friends you had, you know. But and like my sponsor's Cordova, she ended up giving me that car. I didn't even have a driver's license, and she gave me that car. And where I lived, I lived in a trailer that her ex owned, and it was down this kind of like half alley, and at the end of that, the police yard was there. So every night I went home, I'm thinking the police are following me. Well, they're not. They're just, you know, they're going to their yard. But every time I make a deal with God, you know, I'll only go to meetings, or I'll take my kids, you know, where they need to be, and I won't do anything I'm not supposed to do. Well, pretty soon I'm trolling the bars to see who's parked there. Here comes a cop. And I'd either run to a meeting or run home and hide the car. Yeah. And they'd follow me, but they never stopped me. And I know damn well they knew that wasn't my car. You know, and I don't recommend that to anybody. You know, when I got my driver's license, I went running into the meeting. Look at what I got. You know, and if that don't sound much to you, you know, don't have one for a while and get it. You know, there's been so many things that have happened to me in this program that I don't know. When I was told when I first got here to write down what I expected out of this program, and I think in my mind, I didn't write it down, but I think in my mind was, how are you going to eat pizza without beer? Well, you find out who makes good pizza, you know, because you taste the pizza, not the beer. And how are you going to barbecue without Budweiser? You know, all these important decisions, you know. Crazy, just absolutely crazy. You know, the birthdays we've celebrated and you know, and the deaths we've celebrated through this program, the fellowship has supported me all the way through, even when I'm batshit crazy. I was sharing with a couple people before this, every year I have to go to my cardiologist to be checked out, you know, and I'm sitting in there, and I'm just crying. I don't know why I'm crying, I'm just crying, you know, and he goes, "Are you okay? You'll be okay." I go, "Yeah, I'm okay, I don't cry anyway, you know." And he goes, "Do you have trouble breathing?" "Well, yeah." Well, I'm crying, you know. And any other time, I probably would have never went back to that doctor, you know. And today, it happens. I can, you know, I can see something and cry. And when my girl, I have twin young ladies. I'm 69, they're 49. They came out for Mike's celebration. And we took his ashes to Monterey. And yes, it was illegal, but we did it anyway. I dumped his brother, because I had his brother's ashes too, so I dumped his ashes first over the wharf. And my daughter doesn't want to dump Mike's, because that's her papa's son, you know, and I'm like, "You gotta let him go before somebody comes, you know." And so it's like, it was a good 5 minutes in between the dumps, right? And I look down in the water, and the waves are coming into shore, okay? And I dumped his brother's first, so he was closer to shore, and then Mike's, and his brother's ashes came back, and I got pictures of it that met with Mike's ashes. And so this guy comes over, and he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "A miracle." Yeah, just a miracle. And my daughter goes, "Don't say that, Mama." And I'm going, "Oh, here we go." This is the firstborn, the 15-minute, 17-minute before the other one. And her and I are already been together 2 days too many. And on the way back, I let my other daughter drive, and I made the mistake and had her turn too soon, so we headed for Salinas. And I said, well, you see the sign Salinas, turn, and we'll get back on 101. And didn't think nothing of it, shut my eyes. I woke up in bumfucked Egypt somewhere. Saw was hills, no grass, all brown. This is my other daughter, you know, her GPS, and she knows everything, and you know, and she's just like me, so I can't, you know. And I said, where the hell are we? And you know, and she, because she put it on her GPS when we started out, and I said, I am not going to listen to that voice all the way home. I'm tired, you know. And so she copped an attitude, you know, and I got in the back seat. Well, that was the first mistake, you know. And anyway, we ended up between, well, I guess, Hollister and Kalinga, I don't know, backside of Kalinga. My gas tank is saying empty because they're not listening to me, but I don't know nothing. And I don't know what I said, and this daughter turns to me and starts screaming at me from the front of the front seat, and she goes, and you wonder why I won't come to see you, and this is why I'm running. And I'm looking at her going, what the fuck? You know, and my mind is starting to roll, you know, and it's, you know, and all this stuff is coming up, and my program, thank God, kicked in. And I says, you know, that's what you feel, and that's what you think. Now I'm going to tell you what I think. I am 69 years old. I didn't get here because I didn't know nothing. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. I really don't give a shit. And I went, who in the hell was that? Yeah. And, you know, because it started the night before. We were at was it Applebee's or something. Sammy and Bear took us out. It was just Lacey and I, or was Lisa there? I don't know. But this kid started screaming, and I went, one. I didn't say it. I just counted. I got to three, and she goes, Mama. And I go, what, Mama? She goes, well, you need to stop that. I says, need to stop what? I says, the kid is screaming. I don't have to listen to that kid screaming and I'm eating in a restaurant. You know, oh, you're just terrible. And I ended up being, I don't know what the hell she called me. And I'm thinking to myself, when they get on the plane and they go back, and I'm thinking, this child has held on to whatever for 20 years. Because it was 20 years I hadn't seen her. And I thought, how sad. Because she gets her sister going, you know. So whatever she does, her sister follows, you know. And so about 2 weeks, I let her go. You know, God bless you. She defriended me on Facebook. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I'll live through it, you know. And about 2 weeks later, I get a text that she's apologizing to me how she acted. I just text her back. My program kicked in again. You know, your feelings are your feelings, and mine are mine. God bless you. I love you. But I'm thinking to myself, I must have hung on to something for 20 years, or God wouldn't have shown me that, you know. And so that's made me look more this year at people that I might have differences with, or I don't like what they're doing or saying, and how important is it? You know, how important is it? You know, and it's not. But, and one thing that I stand for, and I get in trouble with this in my home group all the time, is a girl called, and she texted her, and the girl showed me the text, so I knew it was true, threatening her that if she showed up to the meeting, she was going to kick her ass. And I went, oh, hell no. You know. And everybody's going, Barbara, stay out. I said, no, nobody, I don't care who the hell they are, threatens anybody that they can't come to a meeting. I said, do you realize how many people sit in a meeting with me that I don't even want there? And I got to put up with them? And somebody's going to threaten somebody like that and I'm not going to say nothing? Bullshit. So the girl walks in the door and it's her birthday. And she heads right for that girl. And I jumped up and my granddaughter said, I hadn't seen you move like that, Grandma, in a long time. And I got between them and I said, you're not going to do this. You know, and everybody else is backing away, you know, except for one of my friends. She's my backup, so she gets closer to me, you know. And she's, you know, looking at me and she goes, but Barbara, I love you. I go, it ain't got nothing to do with love. You know, but it's my birthday. I don't care. You don't threaten somebody. Anybody can walk through this damn door. You know, who are you to say they can't be here? Oh, Barbara, but I love you. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China, you know? So I don't know. That's me. I get told by an old timer, she needs to learn to stand up for herself. I says, yeah, but I also, that's harm to the group. So I got a right to say something. Oh. And I'm going, oh my God, if I'm standing in front of a locomotive coming down a railroad train, you're not going to tell me to get off the track? You know, my sponsor told me that early, I think in 2 months that I was in this program, she goes, get off the track, the train will come back around, Barbara, you can get back on if you want to. That was my sponsor. My sponsor would say, get off the cross, somebody needs a firewood, you know. I love my sponsors, yeah, really. Or the best one is flush the toilet, it's full, you know. Get off the pity pot, flush the toilet, it's full. Go to a meeting. I call her up and she, first thing out of her mouth, go to a meeting. I go, or what step are you on? Okay, that's a good one. Or, did you take your third step? Yeah. She goes, what's your problem? Argue with that one. You don't, you know. So I, you know, thank you guys for putting up with me. You know, I don't know if you got anything out of this. All I know is that my life, my worst day in sobriety is still 500 times better than the best day out there. And I'm not giving it up for anybody. I've earned this seat. This is my seat. Just give yourself 90 days. The judge says give yourself 9 months, you know. There's a guy in Fresno who says give yourself a year. This shit's out there. Hell, I live in a senior citizen complex. I can walk out the door and my neighbor's got the shit. And he reminded me today again. He's got the edible stuff. The best thing to do is you keep coming back no matter what, no matter if your ass falls off, Mike used to say. We'll show you how to sit. Get a sponsor. Work these steps to the best of your ability. But I've fucked up your high. Because there's no way in the world you can have a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. I tried it. It don't work. Thank you.